Hey everyone, what's up? It's Dash, here for another Q, and this time I'm queued up with Golden Glue. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. This is the year of Golden Glue content.
Yeah, it really is, actually.
we had that kind of roundtable discussion, Yumi Medios, Doublelift, and Afromu to kick off the split. And we quickly follow that with a drive entirely centered around your pro journey. And then we're capitalizing on that momentum here on the queue, and we're bringing you back in to dive a little bit deeper. But that I only lay all that out there to kind of, again, establish my familiarity with you and yours with mine.
It's really funny, actually, because I've been a pro for so long. And, like, this is the first year that it's been, like, you know, every single time after the game, everyone has to do their interviews. Mm-hmm. And, like, normally I was just a player that's just like, oh, I'll go do an interview, like, once a month. But now it's, like, every single day I have to do an interview, right? It's like, really funny how just all of a sudden...
Like, how do you, what does that feel like? Let's just start there then. What does that feel like to have all of a sudden this massive shift in attention and popularity to a degree, but then also responsibility, you know, that comes along with being a front man, right?
Yeah.
Kind of being an image for the org.
I think that my initial reaction to it is like, oh, this feels nice. Like, I like attention is nice. But the more, like, it happens, the more I'm like, I'm aware of things that I wasn't previously aware of like, I guess just what it feels like when there's a disproportionate amount of attention, like, shown to you rather than your teammates. So I'm used to being, like, in the backseat.
Right.
So it's just kind of, like, interesting to see, like, the other side of it. And I feel a bit more, like, it does add a bit more pressure and a bit more, like, responsibility. I was just like, oh, a lot more people care now. Like,
yeah.
So far it's been, like, going pretty well. Like, people have been pretty happy with, like, how I've been playing and stuff. But, yeah, I do feel, like, an extra set of pressure just because it feels like after that drive video, a lot more people want me to do well. Which
right.
is, like, that's a good pressure to have, right? Like, I want people to want me to do well. But where in the past it felt like, a lot of people wanted to see me fail.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when people have that perception of you, they're more likely to see like, your one failure than your, like, five successes.
Right, so. Right. So, I mean, it's awesome to have a growing support system. But if you recall when we were doing that roundtable, and Double has been very vocal about this whole career, he threw out the whole thing of, like, you know, I want to be the underdog. I want to be the guy who doesn't have any expectations placed on him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that is who you have been for so much of your career. And now you, like you said, now you're kind of shifting. You're kind of crossing that line into the, I have more people who believe in me, but along with belief comes the expectation that I will now show up and that I will perform. Which position do you prefer to be in? The position of old, where you have, like, something to prove, or this new position of, like, people are building me up and I'm owning this?
Whichever one wins. Yeah.
Okay, like, all right. Whichever one, that's a victory.
Yeah, whichever one wins. I still feel like the underdog. I still feel like I'm, like, battling for every win. I don't feel like I'm, like, that level of, like, I don't even know, like that status of being
the dominant player.
Dominant, yeah, I still always feel like the underdog, and I think I'll always have the mentality because I do think it's just better for competition to have that, like, that grindy mentality of, like, you're gonna fight for every single small advantage you can get.
Yeah.
And it's a really good mental thing.
In your drive, I'm going to perhaps misquote you, but you said
we'll see.
You can correct me. You said something along the lines of, my entire career has been about proving people wrong.
Yeah.
When was the first time you came to that? Like, I'm going to prove you wrong. Someone told you you couldn't do it, and you decided you're going to prove them wrong.
Man, I think it started, like, the first time I got even picked up on an LCS team way back when I was replacing Scar on Dignitas.
Yep.
Because back then I was just a solo queue player, like, no one's ever seen me before, and I was mm-hmm. replacing the mid laner who just went to All Stars the previous year for North America, right? So just, like, going into my career, there was already, like, well, why are they doing this change? Who is this guy? Why is he here? And, like, I was like, all right, screw you guys, I'm gonna show you guys why I'm here.
Yep.
that took a while. Like, I had, like, some moments.
You did win the first game.
Yeah, we actually, like, I got a quadra kill in, like,
yeah,
the first,
yeah,
like,
you won
games.
The first game. Your team went to playoffs, and yeah, that's when Scar came back in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's hard to say, like, I don't know. It's just, it was a super interesting time, and, like, I really enjoyed those experiences on LCS. But it definitely didn't feel like at that time it was sustainable.
Okay. How do you differentiate between, like, the healthy version of I'm going to prove you wrong and, like, maybe whatever the unhealthy version looks like,
yeah,
the
yeah,
vindictive yeah, version yeah, of, like, I'm going to prove you wrong?
So I think something really important for me that I do a lot more now is I just read a lot less opinions, because I think when I was younger, I would watch, like, every single piece of league content, see what all the analysts are saying about me, see what, like, all the casters are saying about me, whatever. And then there's just so much, I had just so much more negative energy, where now I don't really tune into a lot of it. I kind of just like me and my team, I just do my thing, do yeah, our thing, and I focus on that, because I feel like I already know, like, I've been around long enough where I already know what people are going to think about us. Like, when I joined Golden Guardians with our roster, I knew everyone's going to think we weren't going to be good, right? So I feel like I don't really focus on receiving negative feedback as much as I used to.
Do you think you had to read through enough of the negative feedback, though, in your earlier times of your career to come to that realization that actually none of this matters and I can largely ignore?
I definitely, like, I realized this because I read all the negative stuff, and I realized how it affected me and how it just made my, like, mood and attitude, my confidence, just so much worse. So, like, it actually creates a self-fulfilling prophecy, I feel like, when you listen to that stuff.
Absolutely. All right, cool. Jumping all the way back, I'm really happy that The Drive did come out, because it provides this kind of incredible outline for us to now dive a little bit deeper with a little bit more time on your specific path. So let's go all the way back to high school and to football ultimately. Why that sport? Like, what was it about? It's only interesting because it was also a sport I tried to play in high school and quickly realized I was not cut out for, and transitioned to something I ended up being a lot more successful in.
Yeah.
And somewhat similar, you did. Yeah. But, like, what was it about football? Obviously, Texas comes into play. But is there something specific to the game of football that really grabbed you as opposed to basketball, soccer?
Yeah, like, so I tried other sports growing up. I did a little bit of baseball. I, like, tried soccer. Did cross country.
Yes.
I actually ran in, like, a national competition for cross country.
What?
I just got carried by, like, my teammates. I had, like, some of the best runners on my team.
That's sick, though.
Yeah, like, in middle school I did that. But once you hit seventh grade in Texas, at least that's what it was when I was there, that's when you can start playing football, because football's not allowed, like, in schools previous to that, just because they don't want you, I guess, like, banging up your head, like, too early. I don't know the real reason.
That's, I like, head safety is good.
Yeah, but that's just kind of, like, what almost, it feels like every guy just wants to be, like, that, like, football star in Texas. That's kind of just maybe the expected path or what's cool, and it's also, like, what all your peers are doing.
Right.
It almost didn't feel like I had a choice, you know? It was like, this is, I was somewhat athletic, like this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to see if I'm good at it. And I never thought I was, like, really good at football, but I always loved, like, the environment. Like, I loved, like, the brotherhood. I loved the, like, how hard we'd work. Like, we'd push each other. Like, I really feel like that built the discipline to, like, a whole nother level that I never would have been able to build without it.
Do you think you would have been a football player if you did not grow up in Texas?
If I didn't grow up in Texas?
Like, what role did Texas play in your competitive upbringing or mentality and specifically a sports focus?
I honestly don't know. Like, I might not have joined football if it wasn't the biggest thing to do. I probably would have just...
Did you fancy yourself a competitive person, though? Like, even as a young... You know, now we're talking adolescence, like...
Yeah. So I'm definitely a competitive person. I think, I guess... What I'm realizing right now is that I like to compete in the thing that people like put the most social capital on, you know? Mm. So like that's kind of what also League of Legends was. It was the biggest game at the time. So right. I always wanted to compete in the thing that was like the highest like difficulty, that the most people are going to try to do this.
Right.
So there's the most like just fun, I guess. That's what it is for me.
Yeah. So very competitive person from a young age. I'm in the state of football.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going to go. That's where the social status in high school is, you know, determined by who's on the football team and all of that. You walk in day one, freshman year for football. What is Grayson's expectation at that point? What is your image of my next 4 years of high school and how it's going to go? And I want to compare that to what reality was.
Actually, the funny thing is, so my first day of football ever, well, it started in seventh grade. I was actually sick for the first week of practice.
Okay, good start.
Yeah, so I missed the whole week of practice. So I totally missed out on, like, when they were teaching the basics and fundamentals
right.
of, like, hitting, tackling, blocking. So I feel like when I started football, I was already starting from, like, a huge disadvantage just because, like, I missed out on the very basic concepts. My expectations is I always wanted to be the one, like, catching the touchdowns. Like, I wanted to be that person. I wanted to be a wide receiver.
Okay.
But I ended up being a tight end. Because I was a little bigger and, like, stronger. So I ended up doing that.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, that's a role that can get you, right? Like, all right, I'm not a wide receiver. Was that kind of the first knock to, like, damn it, I didn't get it, right? And then it's like, all right, but I still get to be a tight end. We get to pull the ball down. We get to, you know, first downs, touchdowns are still on the board for, you know, on the table for me.
Yeah.
Like, but where did, you know, at what point did your kind of, your worldview get shattered? Or your, you know, your...
So I would say, like, after I played freshman year, and after, I think it was around sophomore year, is when I realized, like, oh yeah, I'm never gonna start at this role, is because Caden Smith, who was 1 year younger than me, that's when he was a freshman.
So he's a year younger, too.
Yeah, he was a year younger than me, and then freshman year, he was starting on our varsity team.
Wow.
So I was like, yeah. Like, that wasn't really, like, my goal. I knew there was no way I was gonna beat him, so I was like, you know, sometimes you play two tight ends.
There you go. We're just gonna design a lot of those plays.
Yeah. But honestly, it's not something that I thought about too much. I never really think about the things that are super far out because it doesn't really help in practice. I was just kind of focused on, like, okay, well, how can I get onto the junior varsity A team first? Like, I need to do the stepping stones to be able to even have a chance to, like, play on varsity. Definitely the dream and the goal was always to play on varsity because that was, like, the really cool thing to do.
Right. Did you have... Well, it sounds already like you're somewhat process-oriented person. Did you come to that conclusion alone? Like, this idea that, like, hey, I just watched a guy come in freshman year, get bumped to varsity. Again, that's going to probably sting for someone who has aspirations for a similar role and is ahead in terms of age. But what you just laid out for me, this idea that, like, I knew I needed to get JVA first, right? And then move on. Like, have you always fancied yourself like a process-oriented person who could kind of very easily figure out, if I want to get from point A to point B, here's how I do it?
I definitely think that I don't compare myself to, like, someone who's way ahead of me. So I just think of, like, I would say I'm more process-oriented. I think of the steps I need to take, even though I wouldn't say I always know the steps.
Fair.
You know, I think sometimes I need a lot of help in, like, finding the steps and what to do. But I always understand that if you want to be the top of anything, it's going to be a really long path. It's going to be a lot of work. And, like, there's not going to be a short path.
Right.
You know? So it definitely didn't seem like a very realistic thing for me to play over Caden Smith. So I'm just like, okay, well, what can I do right now to better my situation?
But, again, I think that it's interesting. Well, I think in that situation, people are liable to go one of two directions, right? Either they see somebody surpass them in an instant and they go, well, that's it, you know, like, I'm done. What I wanted, it's not attainable because that guy's there, so I'm not going to get it. And there's, you know, the give up route versus the, you know, this is even more motivation to, you know, to figure out how to get it done. And you go one way while other people go the other. In the drive, your coach mentioned, one of your former coaches mentions that the team and the coaching staff was aware of your aptitude in gaming. How much of that, or how much awareness was there around your ability just generally in high school in gaming?
It kind of started junior year. I think people became more aware of it once I actually, like, I quit football halfway through junior year.
Okay.
And that's when I started, like, playing in tournaments. I think that's when I flew out to LA. So as soon as I, like, played in LCS, there was definitely, like, more, I guess, awareness, I guess, in my school. I remember I had some, like, freshmen and, like, sophomores come up to me and have, like, sign stuff right at school. I was like, this is weird. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
This was 2013, 2014? 2014, I believe, is when you came on to Dig, right?
Yeah, honestly, it's hard for me to remember what year it was, 2013 or 2014.
But this is 6 to 7 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And it was...
Seems like a decade
ago. It seems like a long, long, long-ass time ago.
Yeah.
But what was that like? Because in my high school days, I didn't tell anyone I played games. Right.
No, I didn't either. That's the thing, is I didn't really tell people. I didn't tell anyone I played PC games, because PC games were not the cool thing. Everyone played, like, Call of Duty.
Everyone plays Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty or Halo, but, like, you didn't really talk about World of Warcraft in the mm-hmm. football locker room or, like,
So when this comes up, like, when people go, when it's found out that Grayson just hopped on a plane, flew to L.A. for a weekend to play professionally, and then now he's back in school this week, when that kind of surfaces and becomes known through the social network of high school, did people largely think it was a cool thing, you know? Did people think it was nerdy and weird? I'm sure there were people on all sides of the spectrum, but what was kind of the majority case?
Honestly, I think awkward high school students didn't really know what to say about it. Like, no one really knew what to talk about. I didn't know what to say about it, because I was like, this is super awesome, super cool, but, like, I don't want it to... I don't know. I don't want to sound like some egotistical, like, guy who's just going around like, yeah, I'm playing LCS.
Right.
So, honestly, it didn't really change that much of my high school experience. I would say it just made me maybe a bit more detached from school. Like, mm-hmm. once I saw, like, there's a career here, it definitely made me care a little bit less about school.
Was it hard for you to give up football?
Yeah, giving up football was probably the hardest decision I made, like, up to that point. Like, that was, it's kind of like leaving your family or something like that. It's like that big of a thing, because you always see the people who quit football, and it's kind of like you're just disassociated from the brotherhood.
Yeah.
Like, you still have the friends and stuff, but you're not going to be spending that time practicing in the locker room.
You're going to lose out on an inside joke here and there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that decision was really hard, even though it was, like, a really obvious choice. Like, I knew I wasn't going to play varsity year. Like, my body was getting really banged up. I had, like, I could barely walk upstairs. Like, I had really bad tendonitis in my knees.
Wow.
Yeah. I stopped working out for, like, a year and a half or something. Maybe even 2 years. So it was, like, a really obvious choice to quit. But it was still, like, ridiculously hard for how easy of a choice it was.
That's cool. You beat me to my next question, which was going to be, yeah, was it an obvious decision or was it not? Because I could still see a world where you look back and you go, I wonder what I could have achieved if I stuck with football.
I still actually have dreams sometimes.
You think that?
Yeah, I do sometimes have dreams of, like, oh, I'm back, like, playing football. Like, I made it to senior year of football.
Be honest with me. What envision the remainder of your football career? What would it have realistically looked
bench.
Like?
You I
sit on the bench?
Bench? Yeah, that's all it is. My body gets more banged up. I would not be playing. Like, there's no chance I'd be playing.
The golden glue of league doesn't work his ass into shape and eventually find a walk-on spot, a Rudy walk-on spot for a college football team and surprise us all.
See, I already knew I didn't want to play college football.
Okay. Oh, you did?
Yeah. The thing is, like, I really liked, like, high school Texas football. Mm-hmm. I wasn't actually too in love with, like, if I had to do college ball, like, I just didn't feel like I would have enjoyed it as much as high school football in Texas.
Fair enough. All right, so we've made the transition over to League of Legends. We've given up on this other thing, obvious choice, but still somewhat painful.
Yeah.
Walk me through that next kind of year and a half, because, again, as was mentioned, you're flying out.
Yeah.
Like, we're still in an era where it's not like transplant you to LA gets you into this system. You are a high schooler who also happens to be playing professionally in a league that's a couple thousand miles away.
Yeah. I remember like leaving class early on Friday to catch a flight to LA. Like, I thought that was super cool.
Right.
And I was like, yes, I get to ditch class and I get to play LCS. Like, this is dope.
That's so cool.
I love it. I remember landing in LA and getting Korean barbecue. I've never had Korean food in my life.
And you've had a lot of Texas barbecue though. Yeah, so yeah. At least you're not starved for delicious barbecue.
I got dinner with Kiwi Kid, Cutie Pie, like the old Dignitas crew. And like, I really wanted to be on Dignitas. Like, yeah. That was a team that when I looked at it, I was like, that team looks like so much fun.
Okay.
As a kid, I was like, that team looks so much fun to play in. I want to play with them.
How did reality match up to your expectation coming in?
Playing it with like Kiwi Kid, Cutie, Cruiser, and Crumbs, like it was hilarious. Especially Cutie Pie and Kiwi Kid, like they were so funny. I remember
they're crazy guys.
I remember like they would always have the same routine of like watching card game shows before our LCS matches. Like they would watch like
what?
Like Magic the Gathering before LCS. Yeah, I was like, wait, is that your pregame routine? Like, I'm used to football where like we would all like be really serious. We'd be pumping up each other.
Right,
you know?
Slapping the door frame as you walk through, right? Like all that.
I'm like, this isn't how you prepare for a competition.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay.
Did you ever try and bring any of that in? Do you feel like esports is missing some of that? Like what holistically do you think could be taken from football and injected into the esports scene? Or maybe what have you personally brought over that still works for you?
I would say that it's gotten better since then. Like, people do more pregame routines. Like, a lot of teams do huddles. But it's not really the same scene and, like, the same people. It doesn't work as well. Like, I don't think you can really just implant, like, that kind of...
I mean, I don't know if you need to get into like a blood frenzy, you know, to play League of Legends, but you might need to go out there and smash a guy and like smack, you know, shoulders and heads together.
I think there's also a difference of like when you're using your physical body.
Right.
So when you're playing football, once you start playing, like the nerves just leave because you're just like hitting things, you know, it's just like the physical, it brings you to reality basically. But when you're playing League, people get a lot more in their head. Mm-hmm. Like you're not really getting... You can just get psyched. You can see players that are just psyched, and it doesn't leave throughout the game.
Gotcha.
But when you get hit in the head in football, like you're in the moment.
It's a sobering moment.
Yeah, you're very you're in the zone. So I don't know. Like, I think if you amp yourself up too much in League, you will just have so much energy that you will end up like actually not, and it won't be helping you. So it's definitely a tough balance. Some people need to calm themselves. Some people need to amp themselves up, but. It's not like in football where you just need to be like, oh, like.
Did that take, do you feel like you maybe came in your early season? Because I remember, again, citing the drive, you said perhaps you were a little too cocky coming in to the LCS initially, thinking like, hey, I'm gonna come in and smash and show everyone what I'm made of.
Yeah.
You know, is that a little football bravado coming in of like, you know, I can throw down and then I was kind of knocked on my ass and I had to take a breath?
I would say so, yeah. I would say I was pretty like cocky. I think just when I watched people play, like I didn't realize the added pressure of like playing on stage and just how much different the game is on stage rather than playing solo queue. Because when I would watch people, I would just like watch them do like combos or just like skill shots. And I would just think like, oh, I would have landed that one. Or like,
oh, interesting.
Oh, I would have done that better. I would have played that situation better. Like he should have done this instead.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was coming in with. Like, it's like, I see these guys playing. I can do it better than them. Is it just what I thought? But also just like when you're watching League, you get full info, you know, like you don't realize how much less info you get when the players actually get when you're playing.
Right.
So that's another like really funny thing I think that a lot of people don't realize when it comes to competitive League of Legends.
Bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah.
In that way, when you step on stage for the first time and go, oh yeah, okay, now I get why this is hard.
I think Pro View is like great for that. Like if you watch people's Pro View,
do you use
like,
that often?
Oh yeah.
Do I look at your own play, other people's play?
I use Pro View all the time. I watch my own. Although I think I mainly watch other people.
Okay. Yeah. Are you looking for something specific when you're watching other people? Like.
Yeah.
I guess in the sense of like, more as to help maybe a player who's a little, you know, me, a platinum player, right? Yeah. Who wants to identify how to get better. If I were to use Pro Play and to look at you playing the game to understand how to play mid better, what would you suggest I look at? Am I looking at, should I look at, be looking at mouse movements to understand your actual control better? Or should I, you know, should I be looking for decision making just in like when it, based on the information that I see you see, see what decision you make and try and like what can you actually glean from watching somebody else play?
I think the best things for someone who's like, I think it's different when I'm like competing versus these guys. I'm looking for different things. I'm looking for like small tendencies, weaknesses. Like, oh, I notice. I mean, I don't want to say exactly what I'm looking for, but I just I look for tendencies.
Yeah.
But when I'm watching, let's say I'm watching like an LEC VOD, I'll look a lot more. I'll look how are they laning, like when are they trading. I'll watch how they are team fighting. I'll just watch the whole game, and I try to kind of like just understand the player. Like I try to think about what the person's thinking. You get to see the info that they're receiving, and you get to see the decisions they're making with that info.
Yeah.
There's so much, like ProView is probably one of the best things to do to learn. It's way better than just watching like a VOD of League of Legends,
that's
for sure.
That's awesome to hear. The idea of watching tape, this is not something that's new to the world of sports.
No.
Was that a practice in high school Texas football?
Yeah, we would watch tape every week. We'd watch our own tape after every game. And I think the varsity team would watch more tape than everyone else.
My goodness.
Like we taped all our games from freshman year.
Oh, wow. So then when you came into the LCS, again, ProView didn't exist at that point, and the infrastructure as a whole just wasn't at the level that it is currently. At that point, did you feel like there was kind of like a need in the system, or were we deficient in areas like that, the idea of scouting and learning how to improve?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a lot harder to improve in league, like a lot less straightforward than it is in football, just because it's... Maybe it's been because it's been around longer, and there's also just like more tools, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like there's definitely different things you can focus on. Where with League, it's a little harder to like oh, I want to focus this combo or something, because you can't really do repetitions in League as much. You're just playing the game, and you get to see what kind of practice you get based on how that game is.
Every play in football is, or 90% of the plays in football start the same way.
Yeah,
right? We're ignoring special teams and all that kind of stuff, but 90% of plays start the same way. In League of Legends, every play starts in a different scenario, right?
Yeah,
think that's one of the most kind of incredible things about the game is you almost never run into any situation a second time.
Exactly.
And so, again, it just puts so much more of an emphasis on your ability to identify in the moment what is right, and I think that's where kind of the mental strain of the game really, really comes in. But I want to continue on with kind of your journey and transition into the LCS. Off the top of your head, do you know how many teams you've played for in your career?
It kind of
depends on what we bucket.
Yeah, right. It also depends on what you consider a team, because there's some.
We could go all the way back to the Dad Slammers.
Yeah.
But we're not going to, right?
So LCS teams?
LCS-ish.
LCS-ish.
Well, okay, I went back and counted, but I counted orgs. So I didn't count.
Okay.
I wasn't as interested in a cat, because like you were on TL Academy and then also played for TL.
Okay.
I considered that you
orgs.
Being on TL.
So, okay, I'll go with 8.
Yeah, you're essentially right. If we get rid of Dad Slammers and Complexity Red, because you changed to what was it called? It started with an S. You had to rename yourselves as a challenger.
Skyline.
Skyline, that's what it was. And then Complexity picked you guys up.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. Like the first team I ever played for was a team called the Dad Slammers.
Riot did not let that one fly, baby.
As soon as we qualified for a Riot like sponsored tournament, we had to change our name. So
change that. But you guys actually played incredibly well in that. You were the first team to take a game off of LMQ on the ladder.
LMQ, the rank 5.
Yeah, this is when you guys made top 16 on the ladder to qualify into the series. And then you guys played through and you ended up in a semifinal match against LMQ. Sorry, I'm recalling all this from memory right now. You ended up in a semifinal against LMQ. That's when Complexity picked you up, named you guys Complexity Red, and then you unfortunately lost 2-0 to them in that series at that point.
They were good.
That team was wild. Just out of nowhere. And what an aberration, because they were here, and then they were not.
Yeah.
But they have this kind of legacy of dominance in that period of time.
What a weird thing.
What a weird thing. But I do want to kind of get through some of these earlier teams that you played on and understand again why it is that you have stuck around. Because I think that is one of the most curious things about your career is that, and you've said it yourself, you want to be the guy who gets knocked down 5 and gets up 6. And if they knock me down a 6, then damn, I'm getting up a 7th, yeah. Right? Like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But why you and not other people? Because so many other people, after number 5, would stay down. Like, why does Golden Glue always get up one more time? And I want to end... We'll explore this over a bit of time here. So let's start with the earliest teams and where you were trying to make a name for yourself and you weren't known yet. And you come and you get your opportunity and it's yanked away. And you come and you get your opportunity and it's yanked away. And you come and get your opportunity and it's yanked away.
Yeah.
That period, that initial period.
So I would say the beginning of my career, I was actually, like, among the pro scene, I think a lot of people thought I was, like, really promising. I was going to be, like, the next... like one of the next big things. That's why I was able to replace Scar. So how it started was on that Skyline team, we played and we beat Cloud9 Zephyr or Tempest?
Tempest. That was who you beat to play LMQ.
Yeah, so Cloud9 Tempest was supposed to be one of the best, like maybe number 2 behind LMQ. And we took him down 2-0 and I had some pretty pop-off games. I played like Katarina and I played something versus... Bishu Gragas. I remember Bishu was like...
Oh my God, Bishu.
Yeah, Bishu, yeah. That's a throwback. And he told me after those games, he never played Gragas again. Like, he told me he was a big Gragas player, and after...
ruined a champion for him?
Yeah, after he played versus me, he said he never played Gragas again. So I was like, oh, that's cool.
You're like, I've arrived. I'm here.
And right after that game, I got basically, like, poached from that team to Dignitas.
Yeah. And so, like, this is all up and up. This is all like, I'm riding high right now.
Yeah, exactly. The beginning of my career, like, I was really feeling really, really good. I was flying high. And, like, when I got benched from Dignitas, it definitely did kind of feel like I just got yanked away. Like, oh, man, I was right there. I just need more time to develop and grow.
Yeah.
So, my thought process was, like, I just need some more chances to prove myself. Because I still thought I was good. Like, I know that I made mistakes, but, like, I know I could improve on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, like, rinse and repeated for a long time. So I joined Coast. And in the summer between junior year and senior year, I actually lived in Vegas. It's kind of funny. I lived, like, on the strip in Vegas in an apartment.
Yeah.
With my team and my teammates. And we just, like, eat Subway. Like, that's all we...
The old days.
We would walk to the Subway inside one of the casinos, like, because I couldn't go anywhere because I was, like, 17.
That's great.
And on Team Coast, we won a tournament in Wembley Arena. That was pretty awesome. And, like, things were going really well until they benched me for a Korean... I think the first one was TDK Kyle.
That's what I remember.
He was a Jace player.
Yeah.
He came over, and they played in the promotional tournament. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I was really pissed off at the time because I helped the team. Like, we won first place.
Yeah.
And then once the circuit was different back then. Like, basically, you would play in a tournament. We got first place. And then you go into the relegation tournament, like, with that seeding. It's kind of a weird format.
Yeah.
But, like, I basically got them a really good seating, and then I got replaced. So I was really mad.
What's the feedback in this moment? Like, what are you being told? That's one of my biggest curiosities. Is, like, through this whole process, Golden Glue's development, what are you being told every time this happens? Hey, thanks for helping us secure, you know, this position. We're going to replace you because X.
I think, I don't actually remember besides that, yeah, you're, like, fired. That's pretty much all I remember. It's like, yeah, it didn't feel like I had any response. It's just like, what can I do?
Yeah.
I had no power, you know? So it's just like, I had a lot of feelings of, like, how could you do this? This is so shitty.
I'd be super resentful.
Yeah, but there's nothing I could really do about their decision. I do remember one thing I did that was really petty but felt really good is there's another team at the time, like a challenger team called, like, Team Gyrocopters. And it was like Wiz Fusion, I think Nintendo.
Oh, all right.
Maybe I think Yusui was on it too. They needed a sub to scrim the team that just replaced me, Coast. So I subbed in on an anonymous name.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
And I murdered them. Like, I like clapped them
Vindicated.
Out.
Vindicated! Let's go!
I joined their TeamSpeak and I was like, that was me, by the way. And I dropped out. And literally, like, a couple days later, they're
petty,
like,
but
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it was really petty. I mean, I was a 17-year-old kid, right? Like, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Literally, a couple days later, they come back to me like, hey, we want you back. Like, I joined the team again, and then the same thing happened again. Like, it was just kind of like, oh, well, I can't believe this is happening again. Like, but there's nothing I can do.
So did you talk to anyone at this point? Like, did you have a confidant? Did you have a mentor? Like, how, again, like, I just want to figure out how you're compartmentalizing this. Because as you just mentioned, you're 17 years old. Yes, in one case, small, petty, thing helps you maybe get past a little bit of it. But this keeps happening.
Yeah.
This keeps happening. How does a young guy who, you know, doesn't have the 2020 hindsight of where he is in his career now to know that it is going to work out, that he is going to eventually be the starter for an org, and that he is eventually going to be in the spotlight when it comes to being a public persona and all this kind of stuff. At that point, where was your safe space?
I definitely don't think I dealt with it well. I think that I was like ashamed to talk about it with people because it's like, oh, I got benched. Like, I don't want to talk about it, right? Like, it's like, it's shameful and it doesn't feel good. Which now I think differently. I think you should talk about it. You should get your feelings out and then look at the situation realistically and see what happened.
Okay.
And it's like, maybe you're in the wrong, maybe you're in the right. It doesn't really matter, but you just need to get those like feelings out of you. It's not good to pin that stuff up.
Yep.
I definitely felt like I was wronged, and that definitely helped me on my path forward. Like, I kind of felt like each time I was getting wronged. I remember the next time I really felt wrong, I just graduated high school, and I was like looking for teams to join, and teammate needed a sub. Yep. I subbed in. We did okay. We did like 1-1 every week, which they're already like a bottom tier team when I joined.
Right.
So it was like fine. It wasn't, I didn't have a great performances, but it wasn't bad either. We ended up having to go to relegation in a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I got MVP of relegations, and then I got benched. And that time, I didn't really get benched. Like, the team was planning to keep me.
Yeah.
Because everyone was happy with how I played, but then just a total new org came in, didn't know at all what was going on, didn't care, and then it was immortal. They just brought in new players.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, like, how can this happen? Like, do they not see the work I was putting in? Like, all these times I failed, but I keep coming back.
Right.
So I think that feeling of, like, being wronged, like, pushed me forward.
Did you also, how much, I'm not asking you to disparage former teammates, but was there ever an element of, you're not seeing my best because I haven't had the opportunity to be injected into a team with other top-tier talent. I mean, just objectively looking at the placement of a lot of the teams you were on and the times that you were on them, they were not top three teams. It's not like we're injecting you into 2014 Cloud9 that was already going to smash everyone, right? And saying, like, here you go.
Yeah.
You were, in a lot of cases, brought in, as you mentioned, as a sub for a team that already wasn't performing well. How did you reconcile that of like, I'm glad I'm getting a chance, but the chance I'm getting isn't a great one?
So I never really thought about that actually. Like that wasn't consciously on my mind of like, oh, you know, like I'm not winning because of my teammates. I think that is where football really helped me out. Like you never, like in football it's really pushed that you don't like harp on your teammates' mistakes. You focus on what you can do better because like there's always going to be things you can do better. Mm-hmm. So that really, I think also the fact that I played mid and feels like mid always had a high influence in the game.
You could almost always identify something in your own play.
Exactly.
That could have been a different.
Yeah. Game. So I didn't really I didn't have that stress because I feel like that's a really even though it might be true, it's a totally useless thing to think about I'm not on a great team. But like thinking about that is, I think, totally useless and not productive.
So would you attribute your current success, your current career, how far you've gotten at this point, to that mentality, to the idea that you are so much more self-reflective and self-critical than anything outward?
I think it's helped a lot. Like, I definitely think I would not have been able to make it this far if I was just like, oh man, the situation sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just gonna quit, you know? Like, I think even though like that is can sometimes be true, you're kind of just shooting yourself in the foot.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think without that, I would not be here.
Moving to Korea is a pretty damn big decision to make as a young kid.
Yeah.
Where did the idea come from initially? Did someone proffer that to you? Like, why? I mean, obviously at the time, Korea was still the most dominant region. We weren't in the era of LPL championships yet.
Yeah.
And so everyone was looking to Korea as the, you know, the best way to play. So that connection makes sense to me. But why did it, why did you feel like you needed to go there to improve? Like, why couldn't you have done what you did, done a boot camp, and stayed in NA? Could you not have just gone into the hyperbolic time chamber here? Why did you have to go to Korea?
So I think, I basically, when I got benched from Team Liquid, I was thinking, okay, well, the first decision I had to make was, like, am I going to keep playing? Like, because this is how, now at that point, it's happened so many times where it's like, okay, there has to be something wrong with me. Like, this keeps happening. Can't be a coincidence at this point. It's happened too many times. I was like, okay, well, I need, like, a environment to work on myself and, like, improve myself as a player. What is the best place to do that? I think, first off, one is playing LCS. Like, obviously, playing LCS is the best thing to do to improve as a player.
Yep.
Next best thing, I was trying to play in Challenger, but it was too late. The cutoff already happened.
Gotcha.
So I was like, okay, I'm not going to go join a top Challenger team. Where's the best solo queue practice I can get? And it's not in North America. And the best place to go to is just Korea. So I just had to find a way. Like, I was messaging people, trying to find contacts in Korea, places I can stay. I ended up with a really sick setup. I was staying with, like, a Korean team.
Oh, sweet.
A Korean Challenger team and, like, staying with their players. There was an English speaker. So it ended up going really well.
Yeah. Talk me through your day-to-day there. I mean, so you're in a house.
So I'm in, like, a hotel, kind of.
Okay.
I'm, like, in a hotel, and I have my own room. And I go down to, like, kind of like a conference room where the whole team is playing. It was, some players are still playing. Malrong was there. Septid was there.
Yep.
It was Ever8 Gaming, the Ever8 hotel. So they're all really gracious.
From teammate to Ever8. Love it.
Yeah. they were great. Like, they would let me, like, hang out with the team. I would eat the team meals with them. Mm-hmm. Like, they would order food. They're just super welcoming. And my day-to-day would basically just be playing solo queue until, like, my brain would go mush.
Uh-huh.
Then maybe I'd play, like, a bit of PUBG because that just came out at the time.
Nice, nice.
But for the most part, I was just playing, like, League, like, 12 to 14 hours a day, every day. I would talk to my sports psychologist, Doug. I would talk to him almost daily for, like, an hour or two.
Wow.
Talk about, like, what I'm working on in solo queue. And he helped me, like, create a path a lot, like, create a guideline, because definitely some days I was there and I was like, you know, you play solo queue games and you just get, like, inted for, like, 3 hours or something, like, and you're like, why am I here? Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And he helped me, like, stay on the path of, you know, like, you are here for a reason. There are things to work on every game.
Yeah.
And that helped a lot when in times when it felt more, not dire, but just, like.
Yeah. Also, solo queue environment, Korea, NA, very different.
Yeah.
I'm sure many of our viewers / listeners haven't had an opportunity to play in Korean solo queue. You've had plenty. I've had, like, 1 week experience playing in Korean solo queue, and it is a very different experience. I feel like they're much more willing to open mid, move on to the next game, which is not a mentality I have. Like, I'm one of those, I want to fight to the end, even if it's a 95 to 5%, you know, in favor of the other team. I'm like, I want that 5%. I want the comeback play. And that definitely wasn't a mentality they shared there. But having this opportunity to kind of inject yourself into the ecosystem there, was there anything in particular you learned from the team itself that you were staying with, from the Korean infrastructure, from the way that they practiced and everything there at that point? Again, this is still well before we've gotten to the era of facilities. We were still doing team houses here, right? And there are still a number of team houses there, but we weren't quite to the Alienware training facility and the, you know, all these kinds of things. And so at that point, was there anything in particular you learned about the Korean system and picked up for yourself to improve?
Yeah, I would say that I thought the thing that was really interesting with their system was how much like camaraderie they had and how much like brotherhood and kind of similar to football. Like just how
football,
much time,
yes.
how much time they spent together. They spent so much time together. And you know, they had like bunk beds. Like a lot of them just slept in the same room. Like they were never away from each other. I was like really impressed with how they were just acting in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely also obviously the grinding, like they would just play so many games. And it was really good to be around at that time. And definitely it was really nice to just be like pushing myself and not have like any external pressures. Like I was just like, I can practice as much as I want and no one's like here to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'm here to like guide my own like journey. And that was really empowering. It was honestly a really special time in my life. And I'm definitely glad I had that experience.
That was, I mean, obviously no regrets for that move. You feel like at that time that was the absolute best decision you could have made
for
your
sure.
career?
Yeah.
So we come back to North America not too long after. You'll end up on Cloud9 Academy eventually. And this is really where I think your story becomes the most interesting. Mm-hmm. Because this is where, in a sense, mirroring that initial year of your career where people had high expectations for this young NA talent, people were regaining expectations for a Golden Glue that maybe they had given up on in recent years. You know, start high, then there's this dip, not really sure what we're going to get out of him.
Yeah.
Should he really be given another shot? On to Cloud9 Academy, you start performing, you guys are smashing in Academy, and then we hit the situation where you're now even playing in LCS.
Yeah.
This time, are you feeling like it's only up from here? This is it? I broke through the final barrier, like, yeah. I'm on my way?
No, I definitely thought that. like when I was playing in the finals of LCS, like when I beat TSM in a BO5 in playoffs, I'm like, yep. Like this is something this is what I wanted to do. Like
when I
wanted to be
envisioning my career. This is what it looked like.
Yeah, it's like the gatekeeper Bjergsen, you know, just standing there. Like that's the person I need to beat to be able to like consider some
to
success.
Say here I am. Yeah. I'm a top mid laner in North America.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't turn out that way.
So that's I think what's so cool about it. Well, cool. I'm sure that wouldn't be the word you use to describe it. Is that to me, that's knockdown number five. I mean, arbitrarily placing that value, but to reference your own quote of get knocked down five times, get back up six. That feels like knockdown number five, where I feel like so many people would just be whispering, like, just stay down, dude.
Yeah.
Just stay down, like, take a breath, like, move on, do something, you know, whatever it is. And you get up six. But where did that six come from? And specifically, Golden Guardians, you know, what about this feels different? Is this the last time you get knocked down? How many more times are we going to get knocked down?
I mean, hopefully, you know, there's no knockdowns in the near future. I really enjoy the atmosphere and the environment we have on Golden Guardians. I feel like I'm given the room I need. It kind of feels like when I was back in South Korea grinding by myself, it feels like I'm given the ability to guide my own journey. I've been playing for so long and like I kind of know what kind of styles work for me and what doesn't. I've had a lot of stuff not work for me, so I know what kind of styles of practice and like just like daily schedules that don't work for me, like creates bad scenarios for me. So I feel like I'm more empowered to like live my own life. And I'm hoping that that'll carry into my gameplay and into, you know, next 2 weeks of LCS.
I have a proposition for you. It's a hypothetical proposition.
Okay.
I'm going to grant you the ability to trade your work ethic, this drive, your work ethic, all of that, for an equivalent amount of ability, but then reduce your work ethic to whatever your ability is. If we argue that Golden Glue is the workhorse, you've gotten to where you are because you refuse to sit down and you're gonna keep working. I'm giving you the opportunity to take the talent and sacrifice some of your work ethic. Do you take?
It's definitely tempting.
Do you take the trade?
It's definitely tempting. No, I don't think so. I think that although it's like appealing, I think just like raw ability and raw talent can just, without hard work, is kind of a waste. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're not willing to put in the time and into improving yourself, it doesn't matter how talented you are, you're going to get beaten by someone who's outworking you.
Yeah.
And I also think that like this mentality I have is going to like help me in my life after I'm done playing pro too. Like I think, and with all the difficulties I've had in like being a pro, it made me really confident in my abilities to work on myself and improve,
yeah,
which makes me confident for my like life after pro gaming, whenever it eventually has to happen.
I'm gonna ask you a tough question now. Do you think your work ethic is enough to bring you to a North American title? And if it's enough to bring you there, is it enough to get an MSI or a world championship? You know, do you think that you can, in this case, outwork the ability of other people?
Yeah, that's definitely a tough one. I think that to win a title, and especially an international title, you have to do a lot of falling things need to come onto one plate, and mm-hmm. a lot of things need to work together that are out of your control. I'm really confident that my piece that I'm going to bring to the table is going to be ready because of how hard I work. And like, I can't guarantee that, you know, an international title's going to come just from my hard work. But like, I do believe that what you need from a mid laner, I'm going to provide because of my hard work.
Fair enough. Well, I want to leave it there, Golden Glue. I hope to see you lifting a trophy
somewhere
in the near future, and I can't wait to see what your career, both in League of Legends and beyond, has in store. Big weekend for you guys, TL and TSM on the docket. You confident about these games and the push for playoffs?
Yeah, I'm really happy with how we've been playing the game. I think we need to focus more on our early game, but I think if we get that nipped up a bit, I'm really confident with our games.
You guys are already outpacing the expectations set for the squad at the beginning of the split. It's really cool to see you guys competing already with some of these imports and younger players. High hopes for the remainder of spring and the rest of summer. Golden Glue, thank you again for taking the time to talk to me. Wish you the best of luck. For those of you at home, watch Golden Glue play TSM, our number two team right now, the first team to take down Cloud9 this week. We'll see if Golden Guardians can get the better of them. Till next time on theCUBE, we'll see you then.
Thank you.